summer. Kids ministries downstairs. Master Club takes a break for the summer, and thankful for those that are down there with that. So, Mr. Andrew, give me a thumbs up when we're ready to start. We are started? Oh, okay. All right, so we're in Psalm 116 tonight. Pastor Andrew read it for us, and we're going to get right into it. Remember, we are in the midst, the fourth, actually, of the Psalms that are called the Hallel Psalms, or Hallelujah, or Praise Ye the Lord Psalms. These Psalms are Psalm 113 through Psalm 118. So, we also must remember that since this is a Hallel Psalm, it is closely associated with the Passover and Israel's deliverance from Egypt. And these songs were all sung by the Lord the night he was betrayed. Remember, we looked at this, but turn again with me to Matthew 26, please. Matthew 26. And in Matthew 26, after the upper room discourse, after, and in John's gospel especially, John goes into greater detail about that upper room discourse, but after the Lord's Supper and all that took place there, as they were leaving and going to the Mount of Olives, it says in verse 30, and when they had sung an hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. And those hymns that were sung were these Psalms, 113 through 118. And in a couple of weeks, when we get to Psalm 118, the very last Psalm that would have been sung, you'll see how profound that is, that the Lord would actually sing a song about his own sacrifice, which he was just about to make. So, wonderful prophecies there. But this psalm, this song, is a very personal song. And it's a song of that praises God for individual salvation and deliverance. Now, of course, you know, the other psalms have to do with national delivery, and talking about the delivery of the whole nation from the bondage of Egypt. But this one is very personal. So this speaks about the psalmist's personal deliverance. The expression, call upon the name of the Lord, occurs three times in the psalm, verse 4, verse 13, verse 17, and it is the key to the psalm, calling upon the name of the Lord. And the pronouns in this psalm, again, making it very personal, I, me, my, and our, occur in every verse except for verse 15 and verse 19. So this, as we said before, this psalm of praise to the Lord is distinctly personal. It's a personal psalm. And it's a wonderful psalm for us to meditate upon any time. Now, the outline, it outlines into three parts. The first stanza, verses 1 to 9, we see the call of distress. And then we'll see in verses 10 to 14, the call of decision. And then we'll see in verses 15 to 19, the call of dedication. So notice the first stanza with me, verses 1 to 9. I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. Isn't that a great, great verse? I love the Lord. Why? Because he hath heard my voice and my supplication. The wonderful thing about being a child of God is that when we speak to our Father, he listens to us. And because of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, our prayers, ascend directly to the very throne room of God. And he hears us. He says, because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. Now remember, we've seen this phrase, inclined his ear, many times in the Psalms. And it literally means this. You know, that's what it literally means, to cup the ear, you know, and really listen carefully. Not because God is hard of hearing. You know, I know some of you folks go like this, or you go, huh? You know, but that's a common word in our house. You know, huh? What? What? You know, and guess who says that? Not Sandy. But, you know, but it's not because God is hard of hearing, but because he pays close attention when his children speak. Because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. As long as we live, we should be calling upon God. The sorrows of death compassed me. The pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. So whatever it is here, of course, if we tie this back to the Passover, to the deliverance, of course, what we're speaking of here is, you know, personal deliverance from Egypt, from bondage. You know, and think about how troubling that was. Then called I upon the name of the Lord, O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. So he's calling upon God, and there's that phrase, the key to the psalm, calling upon God. And he's calling upon him to deliver his soul. Verse 5, gracious is the Lord and righteous, yea, our God is merciful. A wonderful verse there, and just a verse packed filled. You know, gracious is the Lord. You know, God has always been gracious. Yes, we live in the dispensation of grace and the time of grace, but God has always been gracious. And he's righteous, of course, and he's merciful. And thank God for his grace and his mercy in our life, because we need it. We need it. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low and he helped me. And again, here is the Lord preserving, you know, the simple man, the common man. And notice how it says he was brought low, but the Lord helped him. And the Lord is there to always help. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. Can you think of a time in your own life, like the psalmist, where you were brought into some type of trouble, verse 3, some type of distress, and in your distress you called upon the Lord, and he heard you, and he answered you, and then, once again, your soul had rest. You know, and time and time again, that is the experience of the child of God. You know, there's trouble, and then there's calling out upon to God, unto God, and then there is that return to that rest, that calmness, that rest that our souls can have, that only God can give. I mean, this is a crazy world, folks. It's getting crazier, and just when you think it can't get any worse, you turn the news on again, and it gets worse, you know? But in this world, we can have rest. Of course, this isn't the type of rest where, you know, you go take a nap, but it's a calmness, it's a peace, you know? It's not a troubled soul, it's a resting soul. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, my feet from falling. So again, this deliverance, he delivered him from death, and I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. So again, he restored him, and he's walking in the land of the living. And remember, think of these also prophetically as it concerns our Passover, the Lord Jesus, and how God delivered him. So again, the notes say in this first stanza, the psalmist expresses his love to God because he was in distress. So near to death, he called on the name of the Lord. The Lord heard him, the Lord answered him, the Lord delivered him, and the Lord preserved him. The Lord once again gave his soul rest and dealt so bountifully with him. How wonderfully gracious, righteous, and merciful the Lord is. So this was the call of distress. But in the next stanza, verses 10 to 14, we see the call of decision. Notice verse 10. I believed, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. So here we see that, you know, in his distress, he called upon the Lord and he delivered him and he believed. Therefore, he's spoken. He's giving testimony here. I was greatly afflicted. And what did he say in verse 11? All men are liars. You know, what is that phrase? Let God be true and every man a liar. You know, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? That's a great question. What could we possibly give to the Lord? How could we ever pay the Lord back for all that he has done for us? Of course we can't. What's the greatest thing, though, we can give to him? Our lives. And dedicate our lives to him. And I remember, I know it's just an illustration, but there was a illustration a preacher used once about this little boy. The offering plate was going by, and he's watching the offering plate go by, and everybody's putting money in it, and he's reaching in his pockets, and he's got no money. He says, Lord, what can I give? Ah, I know. So when the offering plate came by, he put it on the floor and he sat in it. He gave him the Lord himself, you know. And I'm sure that never happened, but it's a good illustration, you know, of that. I'm sure somebody's probably tried to sit in an offering plate or something. But seriously, how could we ever pay the Lord back? You know? But if we just give him our lives, that's what he wants. That's what he wants. I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. This here is a reference to the drink offering, which was part of the thank offering. We're not going to turn there, but in Numbers chapter 13, verses 3 and 5, we see this, where a thanksgiving offering was brought and a drink offering. And because you were thankful with God, it was a time of fellowship. And you take that cup of salvation. He calls upon the name of the Lord and he determines to pay his vows in the presence of all people. And he asks himself the question, what he is to do to show appreciation for all God's benefits to him. This is his decision. He calls upon the name of the Lord in decision. I will give the Lord my life. That's what I will do. I'll take a hold of his salvation and I will give him my life. So we come to the third stanza, verses 15 to 19. And this is the call to dedication. Look at verse 15. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. I have read this verse many times at every funeral of a believer. And when we think of a believer that passes from this earth into heaven, you know, how precious that is. And, you know, The Lord is there. The Lord is there with us with when we die. We're very near to the Lord. And how precious that is as the saint, as the child of God is brought from this earth into eternity. And that's precious in the sight of the Lord, is the death of his saints. Just as our life is precious to God, so is our death. It's precious. O Lord, truly, I am thy servant. I am thy servant and of the son of thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. Now, of course, here we have reference to the bond slave, right? The bond slave was one that was given his freedom after he served. But because, remember, what was the very first thing that the bond servant must have said for him to stay? I love my master. And notice the first verse of Psalm 116. I love the Lord. The servant was given his freedom. And rather than taking that freedom, he chose to stay and serve out of love. And they would take that servant to the doorpost, and with an awl, they would bore a hole in his ear, okay? And that was a sign to all the world that I was given my freedom, but I chose to stay and serve my master because I love him. Because I love him. And so because of all that the Lord has done to him, he said, I'm thy servant, the son of thy handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem, praise ye the Lord. And there's that word, hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord. So in this third stanza, this brings him to further thought. Not only is the life of God's servant precious in his sight, as we said, but also their death. And since he hath loosed his bonds, and since he has been delivered by God, when he called upon his name, he makes a further decision and he dedicates his life wholly to the Lord, saying, truly, I am thy servant. Turn to Romans 12. And we're very familiar with this verse from Romans 12. Romans is a wonderful book. It explains in great detail the gospel. Excuse me. And in chapters 1 through 8, Paul in great detail describes the gospel. In chapters 9, 10, and 11, it's kind of like a parenthetical section where Paul deals with Israel. But then in chapter 12, I beseech you, therefore, based on everything we know about the gospel, based upon everything we know that the Lord Jesus has done for us, I beg you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So the will of God for us is not to be conformed to the world, but to be transformed. And to give our lives as a living sacrifice. This is holy, and this is acceptable, and this is reasonable. This is what God expects of us. It's worship. It is our worship. And it's our worshiping him with our lives. So friends, when you're in distress, it's good to call upon the name of the Lord. Who do you call upon when you're in trouble? You know, it's good to call upon the name of the Lord. What he does when he answers will make us know that we can depend upon the Lord. So often, friends, the Lord, we've called upon the Lord and he has answered. Today, this afternoon, or late this morning it was, us three pastors, we prayed. And we really just praise God for what he's been doing the last couple of days here. God is working, friends. God is working mightily. And there was a lot of people in distress this week calling upon the name of the Lord. And he delivered. So we praise him. What he does when he answers will make us know that we can depend upon the Lord. And when we call upon his name in decision, and then when we realize all that he is and what he will do, we shall call upon him again, this time dedicating our lives to him. And, you know, think about all the time we call upon the Lord. We call upon him. And I trust, friends, that, and again, that's the key to this psalm, calling upon the Lord. Continue to call. And don't think, well, number one, you'll never get a busy signal, you know, and you're, you know, today, I guess there's no more busy signals with cell phones. You have that call interrupting or whatever it is now, but you never get that with God. He's always there. So tonight, friends, as we pray, may we thank the Lord that he hears us, that he answers us, that he delivers us from all our distresses, and may we all make the decision to dedicate our lives wholly to him. I have a very difficult task for you this week. I need you to read Psalm 117 once a day, all week, okay? All two verses, okay? That won't take you that long, but read the psalm, and next week, Pastor Nate said to me today, Pastor Dan, how are you going to preach on two verses next week? I says, well, we'll think of something to say. I says, I'm more concerned about how am I going to do Psalm 119 in 1 week. But anyway, read the psalm, be blessed by it, and we'll thank the Lord. Let's have a word of prayer before we have some requests. Father, thank you so much for tonight. Thank you for this precious, precious psalm. And Lord, we as well say hallelujah. For what you have done. For Lord, when we call on you in our distress, you